worshipped. I want to be loved.
I've told you a million times not to talk to me when I'm doing my lashes.
Oh, it's you. I didn't know you with all your clothes on.
You never really understand a person until you consider things from his point of view.
What am I going to tell you? You look like a woman.
Well, girls, looks like it's back to the perfume counter for me. And by the way, there's a name for you ladies, but it isn't used in high society, outside of a kennel.
Hello, everyone. This is the Goldwyn Girls. I am your host, Meredith, and along with me, I have my trusty co-host, Amelia. Hello, Amelia. How's it going today?
It's fucking going.
I'm glad to hear that. It feels like it's been a little while, and I guess it kind of has been a while. So today this is going to be a really chill episode, pretty short. We've got a couple of different topics that we wanted to talk about, kind of miscellaneous. And we wanted to share about some events, film-wise, that are going to be happening soon. A lot of these are either virtual or in California. So one of the events is hosted by Silent Review, and it's going to be the 1924 silent film version of Peter Pan. There is going to be a virtual screening on the 26th, which I believe that is Sunday. And if you go, we will actually share all these links on social media, but you can look up Silent Review Peter Pan, and that actually should come up for you. There's an Eventbrite page for which you can sign up for that. I highly, highly recommend doing it because it is free. They do accept donations, which are highly encouraged. And they will have a silent film accompaniment, the musical accompaniment as well, which is always really cool to see. So definitely join that if you can. It's a great great organization that's putting that on. Also, there is a floating boat cinema stopping by in San Diego, California, which I'm looking at this photo, like, there's an image on the website I'm looking at right now, and I was like, this is a goal. I want to do this so bad. But basically, with everything going on with the coronavirus, there's been a lot of talk of drive-in theaters being, you know, kind of like maybe revived to be more, you know, more popular like they used to be. And this is obviously just a really cool spin on that concept. And it actually says this floating cinema is going to be docked in San Diego from Wednesday, September 2nd to Sunday, September 6th. It says at a still undisclosed location. Very mysterious, too. I love that. And it says the floating cinema will be setting up a huge movie screen somewhere along the waterfront in San Diego. The audience will be seated in up to 24 mini boats, all spaced according to social distancing rules. They're priced per boat, to better assure that groups are only seated with household members or close friends, and each boat can hold up to 8 people, which is a really, that sounds really cool, and like, I love the idea of that. It also says the event is going to be stopping in cities like Austin, Texas, Cincinnati, Ohio, and Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, and it will feature a mix of movies, both classic and new releases, with free popcorn and other snacks and drinks available for purchase. So go look that up, too, if you are interested. We'll also be sharing a link. I'm jealous. I wish my Missouri ass could go to that event.
And oh, no cursing. No, I'm just kidding. I do have to say, though, for people who are near San Diego or are capable of driving to San Diego, it is a COVID hotspot. So not necessarily like a hot, it's just like, it's very it looks COVID-y. When I was down there, people were not wearing masks. And it was actually, I thought that COVID was no longer penetrating the United States because there was nobody wearing masks. So just be wary when you go to San Diego for maybe if, you know, if COVID's still popping off, be careful in San Diego on a floating boat. Stay very far away from other people's floating boats.
Oh my goodness. Thank you for noting that too, because I love the, I'm not laughing at the, it's just, I love how you say stay away from the other people's floating boats. It was, I'm laughing because I'm like, I agree with you, but I just love how you said that.
Stay, you know, like stay 6 feet, maybe even more.
Don't bump into other people's boats. And that's just mean anyway, but.
It's going to be like COVID bumper cars. Seriously, but in water. I don't know what's worse.
Oh, bumper boats.
Bumper cars or COVID floating bumper cars. But
we have, it reminds me of this, I'm going off topic for like 1 second, but there's this place in my hometown that I'm always going off in these like Missouri-isms, but we had this place where there actually is a bumper boat. Like you get in these bumper boat things and you could like, you just like run into people and it's fun. And like you could hit like the fountain and get wet, and I don't know why, I just felt like I had to bring that up because I've experienced it, and it's kind of fun in a way. But okay, with that being said, okay,
that's like such a Midwestern thing to say.
I was like, I felt like I was like, I shouldn't say this, but I'm going to, because all right. Yeah. So also, the Mission Tiki Drive-In Theater in Montclair, California, which is not that far out of Los Angeles. They are doing a bunch of different, cool movies. Some of them are a little bit older, like, they've got Gremlins and the Goonies, playing, and then you know, keep your eye on every other movies that they're gonna release, because it looks like it's gonna be a lot of fun.
He is so cute. I really love Tiki stuff, but it's like all Tiki themed. It's amazing.
I want to go. That I wanted that to happen next Los Angeles trip if I can do that.
They put on such a good show too. Like they have previews before
Aww.
The films, and then they have like little drive-in snipes that play, so like, you know, go to the concession stand, and it's just so cute. I'm in love.
That's really cool. It looks adorable. Like I'm looking at the website right now and I'm like, I want to go there so bad now. That's
awesome.
We will
someday, Meredith.
We will. I'm very excited.
And you'll have to drive me because I don't have a car. So
all right, I'm down for it. It's gonna happen. I'm in love with it already. Oh my gosh. Also, the one other event that we wanted to throw out is called it's actually called Cartoons on Film, but it's the Cartoon Carnival, and it's actually live streaming. Let's see. So this is an event which basically is run on 16. It's a 16 millimeter projector running a bunch of different old cartoons. And it says it's been going strong since 2009, and it's up to program number 93 this month. That's incredible. It's being presented, of course, in online streaming form for all of the world to enjoy. And it says basically for their July program, according to the website, it says venture deep into our archival offerings with us for nearly 2 hours of fun-filled novelties featuring weird, odd, and strange trips outdoors as the theme. In the midst of a pandemic, living vicariously through animated cartoons is the least we can do. They'll have 1920s animation icons like Felix the Cat, Bobby Bumps, Farmer Alfalfa, and Coco the Clown, and a bunch of different others as well. And so it says, join in watching Tommy thread up the old 16 millimeter projector for a trip back in time and a rare opportunity to enjoy these classic and now rare cartoons the way they were meant to be seen, projected on a screen in real film format. So that will begin at 3 o'clock p.m. Eastern time. And the introduction and the films began roughly around 3:15. The entire program should last roughly 3 hours. That'll be Saturday, July 25th. So that is another one that we highly recommend. You know, supporting things like this, I think, is just an awesome way to show, you know, the interest and the people do still care about watching things on the film format, and it's really cool. I think it's really cool that they can do this still online. It's awesome that we have the technology in modern times to be able to accompany something, you know, old technology. Like, I think that's a really cool, just a really cool thing to see. So that looks really fun. With that being said, Amelia, I wanted to ask you, because I think you might know a little bit more about like that or anything else I might have mentioned. Were there any other things that kind of need to be mentioned with that or anything?
So I'm friends with, I forgot his full name, but his name's Tommy, the guy who runs. Is
Stathis, maybe? I don't know if it's how you say it or not. Uh-huh.
Yeah, I'm friends with him on Facebook, and he's the one, you know, he runs the whole event. And he, like, has been posting relatable content, because he's doing this in a studio apartment. And wow. I live in a studio apartment. And he posted something like, oh, I just poured water on film on accident. This is what happens when you live in a studio apartment. No damage done to it. And I'm like, God, that's such a mood. And I have like a 60 millimeter projector, and I'm running it in this, you know, I run it in my studio. So I think it's really cool that someone so kind of like relatable is just putting on this event in a small space and has access to all these films. And I think my best guess maybe is that he's hooking up his projector to like a digital, like he's hooking up a 60 millimeter projector to like a digital projector, because mm-hmm. I've done that before as well, and it works really well. So it's kind of cool to have an analog format go through a digital format. Mm-hmm. It's kind of interesting. So yeah, I definitely recommend checking it out. I think it's only like $10 or so, maybe mm-hmm. a little bit less, to
$10. Uh-huh.
Yeah. So, yeah, I'm going to be there. So if you guys join, I'll see you guys there.
That's awesome. I love the website. Like, whoever does the artwork for their, like, program, it's very aesthetically pleasing. We'll be sure to post on social media, because it, I don't know. I love the way they designed it. I want to do something like that now.
Yeah, so. we'll be posting all these on our social media, like, in a little thread. So you'll be able to actually find these events a little bit easily. Sometimes Google's fucked, and it's hard to find like some like obscure events like this.
Yeah, for sure. So that's, yeah, I think this sounds like an awesome lineup for sure.
Sorry, I'm on a sound for Monsters, Inc.
That was so good. I was wondering what the hell that was.
Yeah, I get it.
Billy Crystal. Get Billy Crystal.
Anyway, okay, I'm done. My attention. Okay, anyway. This last week or so, I did some polls for our Twitter account, which you may or may not have seen. If you hadn't seen them, that's maybe a good thing. don't want to scar anybody. So the first poll that I did was on the 13th, and it was, who would you want to be your gynecologist? And the options are David Niven, Dr. Kildare, Soupy Sales, and Wallace Beery. And Dr. Kildare is not even a real person, but he's a doctor. So I thought everyone would choose him. But they didn't. The number one person was David Niven.
What?
So they all trust David Niven to touch their vagina, I guess. I would have trusted Dr. Kildare. At least he's a doctor. And I like that I put Soupy Sales. He's not even a classic film. He's a comedian. And then I put Wallace Beery, because who doesn't want Wallace Beery yelling at their vagina? That's exactly what it would be like.
Someone
did a write-in. Kim Pierce, who we love on Twitter, she did a write-in for... Lou Aries. How do you say his fucking name?
Oh, Lou Aries.
I fucking say Aries every time, like the zodiac sign. That's not how you say his name. Anyway.
Oh, I strong agreed with her, by the way. Sorry, go ahead.
I would still only really trust Dr. Kildare. I don't even like pap smears, so why make it worse?
I'd be like too nervous around Lou Aries because I have a crush on him, and I'd be like,
I don't. Easier.
Maybe.
You know what I mean, ladies? Anyway.
Wink, wink. Yep. Wink. Well, like, Richard Chamberlain's really hot, too. So, you know, it's like either Dr. Kildare. Okay, go on, go on. Okay.
I would want Dean Martin. That's just me personally.
Not Jerry Lewis, though. I mean, not the
liquor all over my vagina, probably. I'm just kidding. He didn't drink. It was a rumor. Okay.
Milk.
It was milk. It was mashed up applesauce. I mean, apple juice. Anyway. I don't know what's happening. Liquefied apple juice. Or liquefied applesauce. I mean, apple juice. Anyway, what's happening? Okay. So the next one I did these all on the same day, I realized. Like, someone should have grabbed my phone from me.
That's okay.
It's too bad I didn't lose my phone earlier. I should have lost my phone so I didn't have to do these polls. Anyway. So the next one I did is, which director would you want to be your gynecologist? And I said, hashtag asking for a friend. Because Meredith and I have a friend. She just really wants to know who mm-hmm. you would recommend as your as a gynecologist. So John Ford, Vincent Minnelli, Jerry Lewis, and Cecil B. DeMille. Everyone chose Vincent Minnelli. Like, no one voted for John Ford. And I think it's because he's wearing an eye patch. Because, like, there's pictures of him when he wore an eye patch. So I was like, yeah. Maybe they don't trust that he can see everything clearly. And then Jerry Lewis and Cecil B. DeMille are tied.
Jerry Lewis, like, stay away from me, please.
Hey, lady!
Could you imagine him with, like, any kind of, like, not a scalpel? What do you call it? Like, the thing that feels weird. Your whole... Yeah.
A speculum?
It's something like that. Oh.
God, we don't even know. shows how many pap smears we've gotten.
Oh my gosh. One too many, though. That's the bad excuse for me, is like, I've had it, but like, I just don't remember what it's called, and I'm too lazy to Google right now. I just want to say something real quick. I voted, I don't know about you, I voted for Vincent Minnelli, and that was like an ironic vote. Like, I actually genuinely thought he would be like the best candidate for that. I don't know why. There's a very calming presence to him, to me at least, and I would just feel very, I think I'd feel very comfortable. And he's very precise too. Like, he knew details, and I don't know why that matters, but it does. It sounds very smart just to say that. So, okay.
Yeah, what I was gonna say is that, you know, details, like Judy Garland said that he made her feel so beautiful on Meet Me in St. Louis. So I want him to make my vagina feel so beautiful during this inspection.
Now I want to like make fan art and just like call it like Meet Me at the Gynecologist, and then put.
Oh my God!
Vincent Minnelli's. What am I saying?
You're speaking as an artist. That's what you're speaking about. You're speaking about art that you're going to make live journal, apparently.
Yes, exactly. So,
okay. I made another poll the next day. So I did space them out by like less than 24 hours. I did one, which we got 324 votes for.
Yes. And
23 retweets and 38 likes, which is kind of incredible. And I asked, which Universal monster would you marry? The Wolfman, Frankenstein's monster, Dracula, or Mickey Rooney? And most of you voted for Dracula, but Mickey Rooney was second.
And then
I did additional write-ins because people were saying The Bride, which I totally felt bad about forgetting her. And then Jack Carson. And so it's so funny because on the additional write-ins, The Bride got 59%. And Jack Carson got 40.
Jack Carson honestly is the real MVP. I loved the photo you posted of him, like that cursed image on Twitter. It was so good.
Him as the bunny.
Yeah.
Yes. I don't remember what film that's from. It's from one of his films with Doris Day.
Oh my God.
But it's like, it's nightmare fuel. People's responses on this were like so funny because they were like, no. I don't want to be with Mickey Rooney. I'm like, you got to do it. Sorry. Like, he's one, you know, I was like, everyone was really funny in replying to that tweet. And like I said, people, like I've told Meredith because I sent her screenshots of it, people were complaining, only like two, but people were still complaining like Mickey Rooney isn't, like, doesn't work for, like, didn't work for Universal. Or they were like, he was one of the best actors and Gore Vidal and Tennessee Williams said so. And I'm like, okay, that has nothing to do with the fact, like, would you marry him though? Like, that is the actual question I'm asking.
Hello, chérie. All is fair in love and war, eh, darling?
And so I asked, I said, or I did a public service announcement, or I guess like a formal apology for our page, where I said, we wanted to formally apologize for misleading everyone with this poll. We try our best to be historically accurate on our podcast and social media accounts. Mickey Rooney was not a Universal monster, but an MGM monster. And I wanted to sound like a corporate, like that is something someone who has like a corporate social media like account would say when they make a mistake. And then someone named Andrew responded that he was the Metro-Goldwyn-Monster, which I was like, damn, I can't believe I like didn't think about that.
Oh my god. Next time we'll have to do like an formal apology on like the Notes app or something, like a celebrity.
Oh,
I don't know.
You're brilliant. I should have done that.
No, we'll do it next time because I'm sure we'll have like we can always just like make up a reason to apologize for something. We'll do something. We'll see.
I know. It's just like I said, I'm not trying to be mean, right? But it's just funny because it's usually men. To be honest, I mean, I've seen some women do it, but not really. And they're always like, you know, this is not the correct date, right? It's like, they're like falling right into my trap. I was really on a roll. I did, which classic Hollywood star would you drop acid with? So there's Cary Grant, Katharine Hepburn, Jerry Lewis. I could have thought of some better choices. Because Jerry Lewis would also be a terrible person to do any drugs with, because he doesn't need any. Mm-hmm. He acts like he's on meth already, so... you know, he doesn't need any help. But everyone chose the safe answer, which was Cary Grant, because he had done, you know, he obviously went to the dentist and got some acid and had done it before, which we learned about in Esther Williams' autobiography.
Yeah, I think she might have. I think she actually tried it. Yeah, because he persuaded her to. That's crazy.
I can't picture her doing it, but I can kind of picture like. That's the funny thing is, like, these stars did do, like, Robert Mitchum, obviously, goof butts. He was smoking so many goof butts.
Goof butts. I forgot about that.
So, like, even when I read Jerry Lewis's autobiography kind of about, you know, him and Dean Martin, they smoked a lot of, like, Dean Martin smoked a lot of weed. Mm-hmm. So, but Cary Grant, like, it'd be, like I said, it would be funny if the classic Hollywood stars, their acid drips was just like their movies, but on ass, like they were hallucinating scenes from their movies that they've been in, like Cary Grant seeing giant Mount Rushmore coming towards him, or James Mason coming towards him. And what I was gonna say is that in North by Northwest, why does Martin Landau want to be with James Mason? Out of everyone. I just don't, like, Cary Grant's right there. I don't get it. Is it because they're, like, on opposite sides, like, good versus evil? I don't get it.
I don't know, maybe, yeah. And that's, like, I mean, we were talking about that earlier of the, like, the subtext of, like, it definitely seems like Landau's character is into him. I don't know. Maybe it's probably a personality thing, like, with James Mason being all dominant, and he's just like, oh, gotta get me one of them doms. But,
so true.
Yeah. I don't know.
James Mason is Daddy Dom. And Martin Landau is, what is it? Little Daddy, girl.
Little girl. I was going to say Daddy Sub, but that doesn't make much sense, I guess.
they're in a, DD, what is it? DDLG relationship in North by Northwest. That's my next thesis.
You heard it here first, folks.
I know, right? We're going to do a poll.
We should do it.
is James Mason a daddy dom in North by Northwest?
Yeah, that's the daddy.
Thank you, Miss Cleo. That is really going to make people uncomfortable. He's our short daddy dom. Anyway. I'm so far off the point. I don't even know.
It's what's okay.
Also scary is the dirt devil in the Fred Astaire dirt devil commercials. What if that was used at your gynecologist appointment? I don't even know what I'm saying.
Now, where'd that come from?
I don't know.
Okay. No.
You know, it might, it's kind of sexy, you know, because vacuums are could be sex toys.
They definitely could be, yes.
So those commercials scar me a lot. Like you said, Meredith, earlier when we were talking about this, you talked about the Audrey Hepburn chocolate commercial. That is, like, cute, okay? For some reason, I think it's the close-ups that are weird in the Daredevil commercial. Like, you can, it's so obviously not him.
Yeah.
It's like, I don't know. It's uncanny. I don't know. I'm going to have, that would be my LSD nightmare trip, would be encountering the dirt devil, being held by Fred Astaire. And he holds a broom in another one. They're both from Royal Wedding. You know, they probably used that fucking public domain.
Oh, no.
Why did they have Peter Lawford with a dirt devil?
Could you imagine? I want to make that happen now. Like,
we just need holograms of all the classic Hollywood stars so we can put them in terrible commercials like OxyClean commercials or like the ShamWow. We need someone for that.
Yeah. Man, I miss Billy Mays. Could you just imagine having like Peter Lawford
King, right?
Filling the shoes.
I forgot that I did a poll for the Mickey Rooney sizzle reel, which if you haven't seen, stop listening to our podcast right now and go watch it. It's on YouTube. It's so funny. And it was supposed to be from Mickey Rooney, this reality TV show that Mickey Rooney and his family were supposed to do in the early 2000s or so. And with Jan, everyone loves Jan, obviously. She has a star. She has a star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame. You know, it's not like R2-D2 also doesn't have a star. It means nothing, people. this is like a compilation from that reality show. Because there's original reality show, kind of like, it looks like a reel from their show. It's 30 minutes on YouTube, but this one's like 10 or so minutes long. And it's like all the worst moments of Mickey Rooney in that reality show all put into one. So, like I said, 60% of you said you haven't seen it, and that's, like, unacceptable. So,
yeah, it's fantastic. Like, you must watch it. It's such a shame that, well, they didn't pick up that show. I say that, but, like, I know it would have just enabled him to have done some crazy crap. Like, I don't know. What would the world have been like if they picked up a show where Mickey Rooney is just living life and being a shithead?
Like, there would have been no coronavirus.
No, exactly. And he would have gone down in, like, the same Hall of Fame as, like, New York from Flavor of Love and...
Oh, my God.
Can you imagine? Like, what if he got, like, on a show with her or something? That would have been insane.
We need that. It would be, like, it... Oh, my God.
What if it was, Flavor of Love, but like all the girls were going for Mickey Rooney.
So I think the name of it would have to be like Flavor of Roonster.
That or like Love Finds Mickey Rooney.
Oh my God. That's perfect. I'm really bummed that he died. We should bring it back someone create a hologram of him and then we can do it. Watching some Katherine Hepburn and Spencer Tracy films. I only watched two, but they're coming out on Warner Archive on Blu-ray, so they're available in the shop right now. So if you want to go pick up some Spencer Tracy and Katherine Hepburn, you really should. But I watched one of their films, Without Love, which was this, I have a lot of feelings. And then I watched Pat and Mike. I think Without Love's like 1945.
Mm-hmm.
And Pat and Mike is like 1952 or something.
I know Pat and Mike is 1952. I haven't seen that one yet, but I, for some reason, I always remember the date of that one. Yeah. I need to watch. I've seen a couple of their films. It's been years ago, and I'm glad you reminded me to go back, rewatch those, and then watch the ones I have not seen.
Yeah, like Without Love, Without Love was like not. I did not like it, but I really love Keenan Wynn and Lucille Ball. They were the only ones who saved that movie. Like every time they were on screen, it was just them, or it was just Keenan Wynn with Spencer Tracy or Katherine Hepburn. I was like, yes, okay. And then as soon as he or Lucille Ball would like leave the scene, I was like, no, don't leave. You're saving this movie.
Spencer
Tracy is just terrible. Like not as an actor, mm-hmm. but his characters are like so terrible. I don't understand how they looked at him and said, you know, I get like the chemistry and whatever mm-hmm. between him and Katherine Hepburn, but I just don't know who at MGM was like, he is the perfect romantic leading man because he so hates women. It's going to do great.
Yeah, I pick up on from what I've seen of their movies. Like I said, it's been so long. I can't remember a ton. Woman of the Year is the one that sticks out to me. And I think I've seen another one or two. Somewhere, actually, I think I have a collection of their movies. Now that I think of it, I've had it for a long time and I forgot I had it. But yeah, I've always picked up on that vibe too.
Can he be likable for like 5 seconds? Like mm-hmm. just 5 seconds, can he be likable? It's not like so terrible. You know, it could be worse. Pat and Mike was actually more entertaining, I think. I'd seen it 4 years ago, and I barely remembered it. But I liked it a lot more than Without Love. But it's so funny because, like, he blatantly, like, in Pat and Mike, he just says, I like the man to be the man and the woman to be the woman. And I was just like, man, he doesn't even, because there's a scene where Katherine Hepburn, she's, like, fighting these three guys, including a young Charles Bronson. She like fights these guys because they're like messing with Spencer Tracy. And then all he says after she does all that is like he's angry. And then he's like, I like the man to be the man and the woman to be the woman. And I was like, he's just like an angrier, shorter Wallace Beery.
That's a good way of putting it.
MGM was like, we need a Wallace Beery. And they are like, Spencer Tracy, perfect. I think he's good in other dramas. But I don't think he's a good romantic lead. Like, I don't know if you've seen this film, Meredith, but it's called Man's Castle.
No, I have not seen that one.
It's not MGM, it's Columbia. But it's a pre-code. I saw it on 35 a year or two, well, probably like 2 years ago. And it's a drama with Spencer Tracy and Loretta Young. And basically, he has to get, like, a job, or he basically turns to crime to help raise money for Loretta Young, because that's his girlfriend, and she got pregnant. And the story's pretty good, but he is so mean to her in that film. Mm. Like, so mean. Like, he looks like he's gonna beat her up in every scene. Or, like, he is, like, terrorizes her in every scene. And he, like, hits her, I think, like once or twice. I don't know. I'm just like, I'm thinking of all these Spencer Tracy movies. And I'm like, aside from like Boys Town and some of his other dramas, I'm just like, man, he is like, I just don't find anything pleasant about his character, like the characters he plays.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I feel like it's kind of ironic. It feels to me like it is, at least, that he says those things and he's paired up with Katherine Hepburn of all people, who, at least in classic film terms, I feel like she kind of defied the stereotype of a woman, if that makes any sense. Like, she was very outwardly tomboyish, for one thing. She wore pants and looked amazing in them, and I don't know much with sexuality wise. I've heard people say this and that and this and that, and I'm not going to say one way or another because I don't know. But I don't know, it's interesting to me that, you know, like, he's like that and romantically paired with her in those, and I know in real life, you know, they had their thing, but, you know, again, we're talking about their characters, that he's paired with Katharine Hepburn, who usually embodied, like, very strong-willed women, and I had that thought in my head. I was like, of all people, you know, and I mean, you know, people shouldn't be saying that whether or not it's a strong-willed woman or not, but I was like, dang, the irony of that. So
yeah, I didn't get that either.
Yeah.
Like, I don't feel the chemistry between them really all that much in their films. And I, like, the weird thing that was, like, to me, and, you know, of course, it's, like, a romantic film, right? So there has to be romance and, like, love. But, like, he treats, you know, his characters treats all the, like, the characters he played, he doesn't treat women well in any of these movies that I've seen. But they're, like, so head over heels for him.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, in what world am I, like, especially Katharine Hepburn, like, what you were saying, her just, like, kind of, like, doe-eyed looking at him in some of the scenes, I'm like, this just does not, like, knowing her, obviously, you separate, like, the person, you can separate the person from the character they're playing, but it just, like, does not fit her at all, you know?
No. Yeah, no, it feels very forced, for sure. Yeah, I feel like she did really, like, I think her best chemistry, and this is only from what I've seen so far, so it might be kind of limited, but I feel like she probably did the best chemistry-wise, personally speaking, with Cary Grant, I'm thinking.
Oh, that's
yeah, I'm thinking, not, like, definitely the Philadelphia Story, but more because they just have spats with each other, but, like, I was actually, a quick shout out to What's in the Basket, the podcast. I love listening to them. Oh, what'd you say?
Amazing.
Yes. Oh my gosh, I love them. And I think it's, unless they released a new one really recently, their latest episode, they talked about Holiday, the 1938 Cukor film. And it made me think again. I was like, I haven't seen that movie in forever. But, like, and I can't remember. Have you seen that before?
I think I watched some of it in high school, but I don't really remember it. But okay. I really want to watch the whole thing.
Yeah, you should. You should. It's really good. But just the chemistry in that movie alone between them, it's so good and it's so natural looking. So yeah, comparing it back to her and Spencer Tracy. Yeah, and it's one of those, like, ironic things where, and I think this happens sometimes, like, with other couples, where they're a thing in real life, and they have, you know, obviously they've got great chemistry because, you know, with these two, they were together for, like, what, 30 years or something? And, like, so obviously whatever is happening in real life is working, but then they get on screen, and it's like, what? So it's a weird phenomenon of, like, making it happen in real life, but not translating it to the screen. I've always wondered about that.
I just don't think I felt the chemistry in their films, which, like, I, you know, it's like what you said, I feel so much more chemistry in couples on screen that aren't together, like Myrna Loy or William Powell, as an example. But I was just like, the saving grace of Pat and Mike was really, there's a scene, which is actually, I really thought it was clever, where, you know, in the movie, she plays all these different sports and he's, like, kind of using her to, like, bet on her or something. I don't know where the plot was. Mm-hmm. It was not there, but she does all these sports and there's a scene where it's, you know, 20 minutes of tennis, but the guy that she likes shows up to her tennis match and she gets all nervous and can't play. And she's having, like, hallucinations on the court. And her tennis racket turns into, like, a tiny tennis racket. And her opponent's tennis racket turns into this giant tennis racket.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, like, so funny to me. I was like, this is the part of the movie for me. Giant tennis rackets. But that was kind of the saving grace. And also, like, I really loved, they have these gangsters in this film, you know, it's like they have a boxer who's like, gee, I don't know, boss. Like, that's how he talks.
Yep.
And I was just like, he's supposed to be like 24 years old. I'm like, what the fuck? I was like, he looks like 30. Yep. He doesn't look 24. Maybe he was, but yeah, I was like, gee, I don't know, boss. I was like, God. Like, it's like, it's, I just love listening to them talk because you don't really see or hear characters like that in contemporary films.
Mm-hmm. God.
So anyway, those are on Warner Archive. I talked them up so well that I'm sure you want to watch them and see Spencer Tracy be mean to women. So you can see that on a brand new Blu-ray. So I think that's all I have to say. I don't know if you have anything else to throw in.
No, I mean, basically just like the normal, you know, the whole, like, if you like this episode, then, you know, definitely stick with us if you are interested in doing that. And as always, you know, you can find us on Apple and Spotify and on Anchor itself if you want to listen to us from there. And I don't know why I'm saying that right now, because obviously you're listening on one of those, but I feel like I have to say it. But yeah, and also if you are able to, you know, rate us, please give us a good rating, 5 stars or whatever, if you like us. Please leave a comment if you have time as well. That definitely helps with, you know, getting the show out there for more people to hear. And you can find us.
I was going to bring that up. Oh, you're so on it today.
I'm so on it. I didn't think I was, too. I've really come around. Coming to my own here. But, yeah, you can find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram under the Goldwyn Girls. We're really being especially active on Twitter right now. Like, that's where you're going to find the polls. So if you're on there, for sure, please follow us, because it's pretty entertaining, gotta say.
Like Meredith said, I just want to reiterate, yeah, if you have time, I don't know how many people who are listen on Apple podcasts, but if you do, like, give us a rating, give us a like, whatever, blah blah blah, subscribe. It is, I guess subscriptions don't really matter. God, I need more coffee. Okay. Give us a review if you want. And yeah, I'm glad that people kind of enjoy what we have and what we're talking about. This is obviously just kind of like an intermittent, like, episode. It's kind of just us gabbing. But next week we're going to hopefully have some guests, and we're going to talk about some films and maybe do some reviews and stuff. But yeah, I hope you enjoyed. We're going to link everything on our social media websites. And also, if you want to talk to us, feel free to message us on any of our social media websites or email us as well. But that's all I have to say. That's all Meredith has to say. And we'll catch you all next week. And goodbye.